Mr. Harris, would you please introduce the next item?
Thank you.
Item 7 is the drought update by Lisa McCann, our regional liaison to Water Rights Division.
Good morning. I'm Lisa McCann, Water Board staff. You have your written report before you, so if you have any questions, I can try to answer them. I did want to make a couple clarifications and a couple updates on information that has become available since the publication of the report. First of all, on top of page 2 in the section on statewide drought information activities, I re-reported essentially the information that was in a previous report about the Department of Water Resources identification of high priority basins, identification of high priority groundwater basins as it relates to our region specifically. And that's because the DWR asserted that their requirement to identify these by January 31st, 2015, is that they're going to rely on the report that they published last June. So the information that was previously reported still stands, that we have these high priority groundwater basins have been identified by Department of Water Resources under the Groundwater Act as high priority. And the way it was, I reported it to you here from a summary bit of information, excuse me, was by large basin identification. So it doesn't easily inform you of the many sub-basins that we're familiar with and the way we discuss them. So, for example, I just wanted to point out that while Salinas is identified as one of the highest priority basins, one of Salinas's sub-basins, the Eastside Aquifer, is the number one highest priority basin on that statewide list of 500 sub-basins. And subsequently, Paso Robles groundwater basin is in the I think it's number 9, definitely in the top 15. Los Osos groundwater basin as well, and Soquel Valley groundwater basin. let's see, moving down on page 3, I reported on the status of the Cambria project, and I think you're all aware, but just to be very clear, this report did not say that, in fact, all the permits have been approved, all the documents that we were subsequently waiting for that needed to be submitted were submitted, and last week that project did go online. And finally, on page 4, regarding Los Osos, we did late yesterday afternoon, we did receive the updated basin management plan for the Los Osos groundwater basin. And so we will now follow through on our next steps that we discussed, I think it was last board meeting, to have Eric Ekdahl, the groundwater management lead, and his team at Sacramento State Board help us review that technically and their plans for management, and then report back to you on our assessment of the report, as well as any next steps and what the future might look like for a regional board or state board getting involved if that basin management plan is not implemented timely and effectively. That concludes the additional comments I wanted to make.
Thank you.
Dr. Hunter.
Thank you, Lisa, for the update. Regarding Los Osos, I do have a question, and I have not seen the recent report that was released, groundwater management plan, through the group that was formed. I'm forgetting the name of it. The it's not an adjudication.
No, the ISJ, the interlocutory stipulated judgment group.
Yeah. So I'm wondering in the review if we're going to consider how that plan represents a certain set of stakeholders and uses in the ground of that groundwater basin, and does not incorporate all of the users of the groundwater basin. In other words, there are private wells and private landowners that are not a party to this agreement. So I am hoping that staff can help me to understand what that means in terms of the certainty of these proposed actions for managing the groundwater basin when there are individual actors or entities that are also drawing from that groundwater basin with no outside of those agreements. And, you know, what is the water usage? How is their water use affecting the projection for sustaining the basin? So that's a question I recently kind of started to think harder about, and I would really appreciate anything that staff can say about that particular issue.
So I definitely made a note of that. So when we're evaluating the plan, we'll take a look at that. We did discuss that briefly with the group when we met in, I think it was November, with Chair Wolf and Ken Harris and Harvey Packard and I, and how that's not really in, but not in as in the basin management plan as far as their authority, but is important to have accounting for and to figure out, so.
Vice Chair Hunter, just to be clear, Los Osos Groundwater Basin has a call out in the new legislation as an adjudicated basin. So they certainly have a lot of leeway in terms of, at least initially, how they manage that basin. And unfortunately, at this point, we don't have any authority over how they manage the basin at this point. I mean, based on the timelines in the legislation, there's the potential later on, unless, of course, the state board made a determination that they still do have the authority to come in and adjudicate a basin based on water quality impacts, which seawater intrusion certainly is. But at this point, they are considered an adjudicated basin under the current new legislation.
Yeah, that's my understanding as well. And so the question remains for those individual entities that are not subject to the agreement. I'm just trying to understand how you manage a groundwater basin when there are uses, long-standing uses, that are drawing from the groundwater basin which are not covered under the agreement. So I don't understand how an adjudicated basin can exclude major users. That's a question that I still think has to be somehow clarified. Thank you.
There are two ways a basin, again, Victoria Whitney, State Water Board, there are two ways a basin becomes adjudicated. One way is simply one party sues another party or parties, which I don't know anything about Los Osos, but I suspect that's what happened here.
Yes.
And those adjudications are only binding on the named parties. The other way is under Water Code Section 2100, which Ken just referred to. And that's where the state board prosecutes an adjudication before the court. The state board, in that case, acts as a prosecutor. Usually in stream system adjudications, they act more like a special master assisting the court. We've never done a Section 2100 adjudication, so I think the, as Lisa indicated, you could take into account how much water those other folks are extracting if you have that information. Short of that, the only way to include them, if you want them to be regulated under the adjudication, is to have somebody file suit against them.
Well, it's been a thorny problem, and I think the residents there that are, as Mr. Harris noted, are looking at a very significant impact due to seawater intrusion. So continuing to pump in the location of those wells is something that, my understanding is, there are areas that fall outside the agreement. So, there are, I think, complications here that the residents have brought to our attention at different times, suggesting that there really is no certainty, or the projections that are being made, have some a wide latitude in how accurate they might be. And I think, given the situation we're in, this is a community that relies entirely on groundwater. And it's a community of about 17,000 residents. So it is of great concern that we have, this somewhat of an adjudication process that really isn't going to assure sustainability of the basin. That's the issue that I'm trying to understand.
So, Ms. Tamsberg.
So I have a question for you, Lisa. And you mentioned Eastside subarea in the Salinas Valley as the a sub-basin with the highest priority. Is that correct? And did the state or did DWR prioritize, I mean, what were the criteria that they used to prioritize? Do you have any idea? Lack of recharge, municipal use, agricultural use?
I don't know the answer off the top of my head, but that is all available at the Department of Water Resources website in their CASGEM report, and I'd be happy to look that up for you if you'd like me to.
My knowledge on the east side is it doesn't get recharged very easily, so therefore it doesn't get much recharge from the Salinas River. So that's my guess.
Yeah. A lot of it was just based on elevation level and overdraft conditions.
Yeah, just
Mr. Johnston.
There's a link in the report that Ms. McCann gave us to the Department of Water Resources matrix, and I was kind of looking at it while listening here. And the factors are population growth, public supply wells, total wells, irrigated acreage, groundwater use, percent of total supply that's groundwater, different impacts in the basin, and then there's an other. And then they rank them numerically. So there are nine sub-basins in our region ranked high. And I think Los Osos is the ninth, probably because of population, out of those rankings. And they include the Pajaro River Valley, Hollister-Gilroy Valley, several in the Salinas River Valley, and Santa Maria River and Carmel River.
Mr. Delgado?
Drinking Water Division, you listed on page 4 and 5, thanks Mike, a bunch of projects that you're not able to keep up on. One of them was reviewing the Cal-Am slant well for the desal plant under the general low threat permit. First, can you tell me what a general low threat permit is, and then tell me what role that review of the Cal-Am slant well has in the overall startup operations of the slant well?
I could answer that generally, but since Harvey Packard is here to my left and is oversees that program, I'm going to let him answer the question more thoroughly for you.
Okay, this is Harvey Packard. The general permit is a permit that the board has adopted for various discharges to surface waters that aren't considered high risk to threaten water quality. And in this case, the enrollment for the city for the slant wells for Cal-Am was to allow the city, or allow Cal-Am to operate the wells by pumping water from the wells and discharging it directly into the Monterey Regional Wastewater Treatment Plant's discharge to the ocean. So they're basically recirculating the water, which we determined was not of significant risk to water quality. So they're pulling water from the wells, putting it immediately into the discharge pipe, which runs right through the same piece of property and back out to the ocean. It allows them to test the hydrological capacity of the slant wells.
Okay, so general low threat permit is a kind of a permit for cases where you determine by some parameters that it's a low threat.
Right.
And will that be issued, or is it not necessary?
It has been issued since that staff report was written. So
okay.
Peter Von Langen, who you'll hear from later today, did eventually get to that and was able to permit that so the Cal-Am can operate it.
Okay, so it was necessary before operation could start?
Yes.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I have a couple of items. One of them relates to Los Osos, and you know, I realize and recognize the legal position that our Regional Water Board has in regard to the adjudication of that basin, and are boundaries that basically do not allow us to be engaged in that process. But you know, I think it's important to put the background in perspective that this adjudication has gone on for 6 years. And right now, based on the latest report, the seawater intrusion fingers in the last report shows an intrusion of at a rate of 800 feet per year. Well, once you have seawater intrusion, it's very, very difficult to reverse that process. And so I understand the fact that, you know, our hands are tight, and I'm using a loose term here, but there must be a way at a state board level, when you reach a certain level of criticality, to be able to further engage in this process. Because if we say, well, it's, you know, under adjudication, I mean, this is very serious. And certainly the recent drought has not helped the situation. But, you know, I'm not asking for quick answers here, but I think this is something we need to pause about.
We can certainly come back to the board and give you a timeline based on what we know from the parties involved, what their expectations are, the timelines in the new legislation, and where this board might ask, if you feel it's necessary, ask the state board to consider intervening. We could do that for the next board meeting.
Yeah, because, I mean, the new sustainable groundwater management programs, there's a timeline of 2017, is that the date? But I think there are certain situations where, you know, you're running out of time. So
is that something the board would like at the next meeting? Would you like an update on timelines and
I would like to, you know, get input from my colleagues if they do feel indeed that that's a topic we should bring up. Yes, Mr. Johnston.
Well, I mean, I think Los Osos is certainly a critical situation, and I think really all nine of the sub-basins identified as high priority for different reasons are critical. I mean, I just want to have a little perspective here. Those nine sub-basins cover about 750,000 people, and all of those sub-basins rely overwhelmingly on groundwater for drinking water.
So we're talking about Salinas now, not Los Osos?
Those nine sub-basins are Salinas Valley, Santa Maria Valley, Carmel River Valley, Gilroy-Hollister Valley, Pajaro Valley.
And Santa Maria is a fully adjudicated basin.
And so, I mean, I think that the Los Osos stuff is important, but I guess I just don't want to lose sight of the fact. I mean, some of this we're frankly just going to have to let some of this process take its course as far as the timeline set out in the Groundwater Act. I don't know. I'm just a little leery of kind of putting our resources where we get the most people coming to our meetings, you know, because these are all important areas. And I, you know, it might be more appropriate to talk about getting a report sometime in the next few meetings about this group of high identified groundwater sub-basins and you know what the timelines are and what we can look forward to on them.
So I'll make an alternative suggestion, and that is we could have state board staff. We had a presentation at the Management Coordinating Committee Monday, Tuesday, on the legislation and the timelines and the state board's role and when that role kicks in. What I would suggest is we'll ask state board staff to come down to the March meeting and give the regional board a briefing on that so you have a better understanding of the entire process.
With an understanding also of the differences between adjudicated and non-adjudicated basins, which is still somewhat of a mystery to me as well.
Yes.
So are we comfortable with this approach? Okay, so thank you for that suggestion and direction and your input, Mr. Johnson. My last observation is on page 4 and 5. We have a pretty extensive list, very detailed, about what we have not done. And, you know, I understand that last year, I believe there was a direction to give information in regard to projects that we cannot accomplish because of a drought. But, you know, my observation is that the nature of this business, we always will have shifting priorities. Right now it's the drought. 2-3 years ago it was the budget, where we had significant reduction of staff and we were unable to perform projects because we didn't have a staff. We may, because of climate change, next year be talking about floods. So we always will have external pressure that will change our priorities. So I'm a little concerned to focus. Because of the drought, we're not doing ABC. The flip side, too, is that this list is very detailed. But by the same token, we do not have a list of all the accomplishments. When you look at this list, it's like, gee, what are you folks doing? You know, you're just working on drought? So I think it does a disservice to our staff and our Central Coast Regional Board activities, because we should then have likewise a very detailed, specific list of our accomplishments that we don't see here. What's in the agenda is not fully representative of every day-to-day projects that staff is involved with. So I would like to get a bit of feedback from my colleagues on this. And Dr. Hunter?
I would say that I had the same feeling, and as I was looking at the list, recognizing that we have some very effective programs in place. We're making headway in a number of areas, and we do reconsider our priorities annually to assure that we are addressing new and emerging situations that where we have regulatory authority to be proactively working at dealing with water pollution or other impacts to water and beneficial uses. What I would like to suggest is what we have here is a very diverse list. It reflects so many different programs under staff direction, and what I would suggest is that these items be addressed within the context of those programs, so that as we hear, for example, the landfill issues, as we hear the update on the landfill issue or associated permits or enforcement actions, that's the appropriate time to comment on what the constraints are and what areas we have had to manage in a different strategies. Because one thing that I do know about this staff is they're very creative at addressing the problems that shift up. And I think a favorite saying is, you know, every time my phone rings, my priorities change, because you're constantly dealing with a range of things that are very fluid and dynamic. And so I would like to suggest that we consider how the drought work affects us, but in the context of the programs as we are considering, you know, what issues we need to be addressing, and as stakeholders come forward and help us also to understand where things are changing, where issues are urgent and need our attention. So there's various ways in which we can understand how the drought affects our ability to deal with the many, many aspects of programs that we have in place and have set out for goals over, you know, multiple year goals and long-term strategies and so forth. So that would be my suggestion.
Mr. Johnston?
I have to disagree with Drs. Wolf and Hunter. This is a very specific thing. that we asked Ms. McCann to put into the drought report, you know, acknowledging the fact that we really are diverting resources and that it's useful to understand that for everything that we ask that we ask staff to do or that outside conditions force staff to do, like the drought work, that there's a cost. So I think it's very useful to see that cost, both to see the cost of the drought work, and it kind of reminds me as a board member, every time we throw out a little staff direction, that there's a cost to that too. And so I think it's very useful in here. It's been in the last couple of reports, and I personally like it. As far as Dr. Wolf's suggestion that we include all the good things we do as well as the things we're not able to do, I mean, I think it's fine to put a list of what got done in the last month somewhere, as long as that doesn't take so much work that that list becomes one shorter because of it. I don't know, though. I don't see the connection. I think that this is directly connected to the extra work we're doing around the drought. I think that's useful. As far as Dr. Hunter's suggestion that we deal with things like landfill when we talk about overall landfill program, well, that might be once in the course of a year. I think it's useful to see what, because of all the work that we had to do, our staff had to do, rather, on the Santa Barbara desal plant, what didn't get done. I just think we asked for that. It's useful, and I think we should leave it as it is and not monkey with it more.
I agree with Mr. Chair. I agree with what Mr. Johnston just said. I was going to say this, that there's a caveat right in here, and that is in order to work on this permit, referring to the desal permit for Santa Barbara, the Central Coast Water Board staff has not been able to keep up on several other important permitting activities. This includes the following items. So it's very specific, and it's just letting us know what has not been done because of a specific big action item. So I don't think it's necessary for staff to go through, you know, and balance this out with what has been done. This really is what we asked staff to do. They're giving it to us, and it's important that we know how our drought prioritized activities are affecting our other, you know, our other workload. So I'm comfortable with what we have here, but I think it's a good indication as to look what happened with Cambria, how staff's workload got shifted tremendously because of one permit in an emergency situation. Now we've got the city of Santa Barbara's desal permit, which is right in front of us, another very urgent permit that needs our attention. So this is what happens when we are diverted prematurely off of our prioritized workload. I'm comfortable with the way it is.
I still am concerned about perhaps the public perception of what has not been done and why it has not been done. And I will give you a very specific example, if I may. Is we're saying here that the inspection of NPDES permit has not been performed, for example, at Diablo Canyon Nuclear Power Plant. Now, we have two permits at Diablo. We have a permit for the once-through cooling discharge, and we have a permit for their desal facility. Without additional background information, this basically, in a sense, leads to the conclusion that we have given priority to, for example, Cambria and Santa Barbara, yet the only remaining nuclear power plant in California, you know, there has been no physical inspection. So, I mean, I'm close to what's happening here within our staff, so I understand the background. But for the public, when they read this, you know, this can raise a flag and then beg the question of, well, then there needs to be more information. How did we make the decision not to visit and inspect Diablo Canyon?
Well, Mr. Chair, I take this that as soon as we're done with this permit today with Santa Barbara, that staff is going to be able to resume working on this list, and that, you know, they'll catch up to this backlog eventually, unless something else comes up that diverts them, and then we'll get, you know, notice again about that. But do you really want to have staff go through and cull everything that they accomplish in between board meetings so that this is balanced out? I just don't think that that's necessarily productive of their time. That's my concern.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Hunter, thank you.
So I do understand the perspective of Mr. Johnston and Mr. Young. I appreciate that. You know, we have had these periods of time where, for example, when we came to the second ag waiver, staff was extremely overwhelmed, and we were aware of that, and we made some changes in the way we were moving forward with that. It would be unfair to the stakeholders to say, gee, we're going to give all our resources to this one effort because it's so important, but here's all the things we're not doing because of it. There becomes a kind of a negative nexus to things that are being reprioritized in a way that we have been doing, that I'm aware of since I've been on the board. But perhaps what we could do is, as you point out, that now that Santa Barbara is done, now that Cambria is done, these things will shift into a space where they will be worked on. And perhaps the thing to say is the work associated with managing for drought issues and the emergency and urgency of those issues has allocated staff time to the extent that the following priorities will be addressed at the next best time. I mean, somehow put it in the context that these are the top things on the list. I take it that these are the most important things that are not happening, but that we state it in a way that the public understands that these are the upcoming priorities, and that the staff will keep us informed on what progress is being made toward addressing these, because some of these are fairly significant. And I think it sends the wrong message also to the permittees that they are relying on us to assure that their permits are renewed on time, that we're not standing in the way of their process, which in some cases, like Diablo Canyon, is a 10-year, I believe it's a 10-year renewal process. So I think we need to figure out what the message is that we're trying to create. And the one that I read is one that these things are just not even on the table right now. And I don't believe that's true. And maybe Lisa can help me understand that. But maybe there's a different way of identifying what this list represents.
Could I just make a suggestion, Mr. Chair?
Clarification, the items are reflective of the staff that were working on the drought on Cambria and the drought items. It's not necessarily our highest priority. It's when we pull certain specific staff who have tasks, these tasks, they don't get done. That's where we list them.
Yes, Mr. Young.
Mr. Chair, I was just going to suggest that perhaps, you know, maybe we take this up after the board meeting and just have staff come back to us. You could deal with this, some just different language to be used in displaying the priorities that are getting delayed in future staff presentations. But I don't think that for right now we need to resolve anything with this. And I'd like to get on, because we're going to be out of here by like 5, and I don't know how long the desal permit review is going to take. And I'd like to make sure we have plenty of time for that.
Yep, and actually I was going to suggest that we just reflect on this, not come up with a final direction. But I think the discussion was healthy, though. So I thank you for your indulgence of letting me address this item.
I just want to very quickly say I really appreciate having these lists of things that aren't getting done. It takes a little bit of work to put them together. It's kind of like a dirty laundry list, and I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.